Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's Lynn Keys, Real Talk, episode 135. Back with another episode. My boy Lee is here. What up, brother? Yo, Lee, you there? We might be having some microphone issues for a second, but I'm sure he'll be in here in a second. Anyways, you know, our show is, as the listeners know, our show is usually, you know, we talk a lot about UFC, we talk a lot about fights, sometimes we talk about boxing, we talk about sports sometimes, sometimes talk about things that are going on in the NFL, maybe the NBA. Lee tends to know a lot more what's going on. And what up, brother?
Nah, man, my bad. I couldn't connect to the site, but happy Friday, bro.
Yeah, happy Friday, brother. I was just telling the people that you know, we usually talk about UFC, we talk about fights, I was just talking about boxing, NFL, the NBA. But you know, since being that now there's really, you know, no sports and nothing is, you know, a lot of the organizations have kind of shut down temporarily, it takes away, you know, from our agenda on our show, but we're going to still rock out and find a way.
That's right, man. I mean, even though there is no live sports going on, there's still a lot of sports news going on, you know, especially this week, you know, with the Khabib-Tony fight. There's been a lot of chat on social media. Been a lot of chatter. I was listening to Luke Thomas' show today. A lot of chat on his show today. But, you know, first and foremost, you know, this is trying times that we live in. Hopefully everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know, staying home as much as possible, working from home, you know, things like that, taking care of yourself. So for those that are listening, please take care of you, yourself and your family. Make sure you're doing the right thing. To my man Keys, hopefully, you know, you and your family in the greatest of health and spirits. I know around here, up in my house, man, my grandson's over here. I got my two grandsons, my granddaughter. Three of my four kids are here. So, you know, we're having probably sit down and watch a movie tonight. You know, just kick back and have some family time. You know, man, just got to make the best of these times, man. You know, I think I tweeted some earlier this week that, you know, this is probably the best time to get to know your family again. And the key word was again, because normally everybody doing their own thing, man. You working, you might have school, you know, your kids in school, you know, you work. So, you know, it's a time to reconnect with your family. But most importantly, it's a time to make sure you're taking care of yourself. But me and Keys, you know, we're going to find something to talk about. We're going to give y'all some fire, Friday night fire. You know, we're going to give it to y'all tonight. I think there's some things we can talk about.
Yeah, so, you know, just to add a little bit something to what you were saying, you know, as far as getting to know your family again during this quarantine period. I know I definitely have noticed that. Definitely, like, I mean, I live with just my mother. I mean, my parents have been divorced for years. So, but anywho, you know, I've spent a lot of time with my mom a lot more than usual since I'm always, you know, I typically work about 50 hours a week. So, you know, I'm, like you said, I'm usually on my own schedule, kind of in between this and that, like kind of running around, and she is too. But since we're both of our offices are shut down right now, we've been able to spend a lot of time together and, you know, get to know each other again, kind of how you were saying. So it's definitely been nice. I've definitely been experiencing that. So that's a good way to look at it. That's the bright side of it.
Yeah, man. I mean, you just got to make the best of it, man. Like everything else, this too shall pass. Just got to be patient. And things will be back to normal before you know it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We have a caller on the line that's been waiting for a minute. I want to jump them into the call and see what's on their mind tonight. Maybe they heard a little bit about what we were chatting about here. Hey, yo, who we got on the line?
We have Lou from Jersey.
Hey, what's going on, Lou?
Name is Lou?
Yes. I've been here before, man. I've been here before. You were used to be on Sunday nights, but now I think you moved to Fridays, I guess, haven't you?
Are you the one that you have the NHL show, right?
I did, but now we've gone to another show. So you know, it's a different kind of show now with a group of people. But I'm still connected with the network.
Okay.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, no, I remembered you from the last time, and then we went and checked out your show. So I could match your voice with the show.
Right. Well, I also have a Saturday night show as well at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock tomorrow actually, but I'll get into that a little bit later. Right now, you know, it does seem like a downtime, and you know, trying to adjust to it. I'm just hoping that by summer everything will get back to normal. You know, hopefully have an NBA playoff, NHL. It's hard, but it's really tough to say right now.
Yeah, man. I think right now. Go ahead, Keith.
Hey, go ahead. No, go ahead. You got it.
No, I was just going to say, man, I think during this time, and, you know, I've been saying this a lot lately, that as sports fans, it's hard for us to remove our fandom right now because
right.
we want something so bad right now that we're so used to having, and we're struggling with it. But right now, it's just not the time to be a fan. It's the time to be a human being. And I think that's the thing that we really need to be focusing on right now is being human beings, being able to recognize that this thing is serious. And, you know, it's kind of funny, but it's kind of crazy that we take it for granted, but some people take it for granted until it affects somebody they know. And I was listening to the Ark and Barack show today, and there was this boxer. They was interviewing him, and he was like, man, you know, I really didn't take this seriously until one of my close friends got it. He's been in the hospital almost 3 weeks now, and now he's finally coming around. And he was like, man, to everybody that he gave his spiel about, to everybody that's out there, you know, stay home, take care of yourselves and stuff like that. I just don't want us to be the ones that say, okay, now it's time for me to take this seriously because now somebody in your family might be affected by it. Let's take it seriously now. We should be taking it seriously now. So,
we should.
You know, I know that as sports fans, I know, especially me, Keys know this about me. Anything that's a sport, I'm kind of up on it, you know. And right now, I'm like watching old college games, old NBA games, like they new games. Even a minute ago, I was watching the NBA players playing the 2K tournament, and I'm like, man, damn, this is what I'm resorted to. But let's not be fans during this time. Let's be human beings.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean,
you have to.
It's easy for us to get excited, and I know me and you talked about this earlier today, and one of my good friends actually kind of been scolding me on being excited about, you know, fights happening that you know, maybe they don't happen, but I know the UFC is still pushing to get some, you know, fights on the table and have an event in a couple of weeks, and the fan side of me is super excited at the idea of there possibly being a fight or multiple fights happening. And you kind of said to me that, I mean, you didn't say it word for word, but you kind of shot the wind out of my sails in being a fan. So kind of there's a lot of that going around. It kind of like, you know, I guess it kills my excitement, but it also make me think twice about what's like the priorities right now.
Because
I'm going to read exactly what I text you. And this word for word, I said, the thing is, bro, excitement isn't who is fighting. It's just the fact that a fight will be happening. I'm just not excited about anything while people can still get sick and possibly die. So a fight can happen. And but my whole thing is, I understand what Dana is trying to do, and man, everything, the fan in me, I want to see something, bro. If I could see Khabib and Tony Ferguson right now, I would probably record that fight and watch it probably 5 times back to back, like I've never seen it. But what's going on, man, it's just, it's too risky. And I think that's why Khabib left, man. Yeah, I think that's why Khabib left, because he even said in his interview that they closed his gym down. He couldn't train. And then, you know, when they was trying to sneak in the gym and train, the cops would come by and send them home. So he was just at the point where he was like, what am I doing here? I can't get anything accomplished. Dana won't tell us what a fight going to be. And I think him being the champ, I can understand his frustration. And I can understand Tony's frustration. Tony's frustration is, this is the most cursed fight in UFC history. I never lost the belt. I got hurt. Y'all gave him a title shot. And I done had to fight, one or two fights to get back in title contention. And now we ain't going to have a fight. I understand both sides of both of their frustrations, but we have to be smart, man. And I think Dana needs to be the smartest person in the room when it comes to the UFC. He is handling this all wrong to me, Keys. I understand that this is a chance for them to be the only show in town, to be the only live sports event in town, but at what cost?
You know what, though, is they wouldn't be the only live sports show in town, actually, because, and I'm surprised that you haven't brought this up. I pondered whether you were trying to just slip it under the, you're just trying to slide it right out of the way. So, you know, thinking I wouldn't realize it, but your own wrestling, which is like your other thing, they're hosting WrestleMania this weekend, tomorrow and Sunday. Now let me say this. How come you haven't brought that up on the show? And this, the past couple of weeks, you've been saying, you've been kind of shading the UFC, saying that they want to be the only live sports show. But while you were framed to include the fact that your own WWE family is putting on WrestleMania, the McMahons are doing WrestleMania at one of the WWE's performance centers, so it's going to be with no fans. So they're at least taking that kind of precaution, but they kind of have no choice. But anywho, they're going to have all the wrestlers on the card, and that's a very close contact. That's a very close contact event. That's going to be a lot of people making, you know, there's going to be a lot of rules broken in terms of the 6 feet during that WrestleMania. So how come you haven't brought that up?
Because me personally, I don't look at wrestling as a sport. I look at wrestling as a entertainment. Basically, I am kind of upset with Vince McMahon also, because I understand Vince is taking a hit on this one, but from what I understand, WWE has went through all the precautions of getting all the performers tested, getting all their staff tested prior to the event. So, but I didn't say they were going to be a sport because it's scripted. You already know who's going to win. So I don't look at them as a sport. Whereas the UFC, I don't know who's going to win between Tony and Khabib. That's why wrestling is a form of entertainment to me, not a sport.
That's true. But in terms of this situation, why didn't you bring it up? Because if we're talking about everything is canceled and how come the UFC doesn't follow suit with the rest of the sports world, okay, well, you said WWE is not a sport, so you wouldn't have said, oh, how come WWE doesn't follow suit with the rest of the sports world, because, like you said, they're not a sport. That's true, but why? But it's still I can't say a contact sport because I guess it's not a sport, but it's a form, it's a contact. The entertainment, it involves wrestling as a high contact activity, and it's a high contact.
Right.
The matches are. So why wouldn't that be? Why wouldn't you have said that? Then how come there's? Where's the outrage for WWE? Everybody, is anybody saying anything about WWE, or is that fine? But Dana White folded.
Everybody, I think some people have took Vince McMahon to task about this. And basically, they took him to task because of, do you know what he's charging for this? He's charging $40 for the first night and $60 for the second night. There are going to be millions of people out of work if this stimulus package doesn't go through. There's going to be millions of people out of work, and you're charging $100 for WrestleMania? For real? So, yeah, Vince McMahon has been taking the task, but if you know anything about Vince McMahon, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's going to do what he wants to do regardless. When he first launched the first XFL, people told him,
"Flop.
It ain't going to work." And he did it anyway, and it didn't work. Now, this time with the XFL, he actually worked with the NFL to figure out what he could do better, what he could do to work better in concert with them so they wouldn't flop. So this year's XFL was a lot better. I wish we could have seen it to the end, but I just don't look at wrestling as a sport, Keys. It's just because the outcome is predetermined. So I look at it as a form of entertainment. Even though I feel what you're saying, that they're definitely breaking the social distancing rules and all that, but from what I understand, Vince did go through all the precautions of making sure everybody was tested and screened prior to them, because WrestleMania has already been taped. So whatever we see tomorrow on Sunday has already been taped, is ready to go, and things like that. But that's why Roman Reigns pulled off, because of all his leukemia. He didn't want to take the chance of being infected with the coronavirus or even having a chance of maybe coming down with the symptoms, because there's a chance he could die because of his immune system. But I feel you. I got you. But that's the reason why I didn't bring it up, because I just don't look at WWE as a sport.
I don't either. No offense, of course.
Now, the UFC, I wrote an article a few weeks back that they could be the livest thing in the sports world if they could do one or two things. The first thing, they would have to move all the events to the Apex Center in Vegas. They went in and they rescheduled UFC Fight Night Columbus and UFC Fight Night Portland to the Apex Center. But then the state of Nevada came out and said, they're canceling all events, you know, la, 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 la. So that basically kind of sort of put the UFC in a hard spot, because once most of the states start going in lockdown and they start public gatherings, basically you can't have an event. Now, could they do an empty arena event like they did in Brazil? Yeah, but I don't really like Luke Thomas. But Luke Thomas brought up a good point. He was talking about the ratings for UFC Brazil. And, you know, it's one of the worst ratings that the UFC has ever had in history. And they had the only live sports event that weekend.
I don't know. I wonder why that the ratings were so low.
But if they would have put it on, me and you talked about this, if they would have put it on regular ESPN, they would have had outstanding
ratings.
But they put it on ESPN Plus. Once again, ESPN and the UFC missed the window. They missed the boat. You don't put that on ESPN Plus. You put it on ESPN, the big channel, and you roll with it. And they would have had through-the-roof ratings. But they didn't do that. They missed the boat on it.
That's true.
Yeah, that was a suspect move from UFC. And I want to ask you this: is it Lou or Luke? Is it Lou?
It's Lou. Yes.
Lou. So I want to ask you this: so you used to have an NHL show, and
right.
I figure you're still a big hockey fan.
Oh yeah.
So
I am.
I'm very much in the dark as far as what the NHL where they're at. I mean, I know that. Has the season been canceled? Are they playing without
the
fans?
The season
has not been officially
canceled. Although some of their teams have put away with the ice and stuff. Like in Toronto and Boston, they have de-iced the arena. But the thing is that Toronto has a ban, but the ban does not include pro sports teams. So. It's possible that if the NHL does come back and start the playoffs, maybe they'll have to play some neutral site games somewhere else. So it hasn't been officially canceled, but I think it's going to be. This will be the first time in 100 years because of a pandemic it'll be canceled, not because of a lockdown.
So if I try to go buy a ticket to a Bruins game, will I be able to go watch the Bruins play, or is that not available?
No, you can't do anything.
Probably going to be in a, if it does come back, it'll be in a neutral site.
I think the NHL is paying attention to what the NBA does.
Yeah.
I think if the NHL could come in and squeeze in maybe 20 games or 10 or 15 games before the playoffs and still have their playoffs, I think they would do that. But the NHL right now, they are definitely paying attention to what the NBA does. The NBA, they have one thing working in their favor that the NHL doesn't have in their favor. The NBA, they can send all their players to Vegas.
Right.
They can play in casinos. They can play at UNLV. They can play at the where they had a summer league tournament set. They have multiple ways of resuming their season.
Yes.
That hockey really doesn't have. Only way hockey could really do that is they will probably have to put teams in four different cities and play it that way and then resume the season.
Right.
Where the NBA can just put all their teams in Vegas. I think if hockey is definitely paying attention to what's going on in the NBA because they want to see what the NBA is going to do. If the NBA can pull this off as far as, you know, having all the teams play in Vegas or come back and have a 15 games to the regular season and then, you know, revamp the playoffs, you might see hockey follow suit.
Yeah, possible. Of course, I don't think it'll happen until June, but you know what? I don't mind it in June because in the summer it'll give us something to watch. So I'm for it.
I think for me.
And go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I think for me, if I'm hockey, I'm looking at probably St. Louis, Denver, Dallas. It's another team that's in that region, and you probably can use those four sites because I don't really think those four sites have had a massive outbreak of corona. So you look at those four sites as probably, all right, we're going to send this division and this division here. We'll send this division and this division here. We'll send this division and this division here, and we'll just go from there. And I think they can make that happen. But it's all about logistics because as soon as one player, Keys, you got to keep this in mind, as soon as one player tests positive, they got to shut it down, bro.
Yeah.
You got to shut it down.
I get that. And you're trying to relate that back to what we were talking about before. I see what you did there. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, Lou, thank you for the call, man. We'll have to check up on your new show pretty soon.
Let me just say about it right now. Well, it's not actually new. I've had now for 2 years, actually. It's called the Enhanced Sports Show, and we handle everything in the world of sports. So if you got time between 5 and 7 Eastern time tomorrow, give it a call. The number is 512-543-4662.
That's on Saturdays?
Saturdays, 5
to 7,
East Coast time. Right, and the number again, 512-543-4662. And there's no code you got to dial or nothing like that. Just straight through the number, and I'll get you on.
Okay.
All right, man, thank you. We'll check up with you soon.
Great.
Thanks, Lou.
Thank you.
All right, my man.
Stay safe, man. Stay safe. Take care.
Oh, man.
Okay. Okay, so we already covered a bit more than I thought we would have by this point in time. We went through, you know, we already talked about the WWE situation. I wanted to run that by you. We already kind of got through that. How about I bring this up to you? So now I know you don't want to see any fights happen. To say at the very simplest terms, you don't want to see any UFC fights happen because you feel like it's too much as far as safety right now, and it just to make sure that everybody's stays healthy and everything's done the right way, you feel like it's just best to not have any UFC fights. Is that what you say, your stance at this point in time?
Yes. Would I want to see a fight? Yes. Would I be happy to see a fight? Yes. Would I be excited to see a fight? No. Because I'll be worried about what if this happens after the fight? What if, you know, the cameraman that was doing the interview with Khabib after he won, he had corona, and then Khabib gets it. You know, that'll be the kind of stuff that'll be running through my head. Now, I understand where Dana is coming from as a promoter and as the president of the UFC, that I know he sees an opportunity, because I saw the same opportunity 3 weeks ago that, man, the UFC could really be the focal point of the live sports world. But then it just started, this pandemic just started getting worse and worse. And I think now the I ain't gonna say the human side of me, because I'm a parent. I would say I would be worried if my son or my daughter was to be stepping in the octagon to fight somebody. Especially if the UFC isn't gonna go through all the precautions, you know, to make sure that everybody that comes in there is corona free, you know, and all that good stuff. And if Dana never reassured us that they would do that. So without that reassurance, I just wouldn't trust it, bro. That's just me.
Yeah, so how do you feel about... I totally get it. It's not like you have to prove a point to me. I just wanted you to reiterate that. No, where my mind is at is I get on a very big high when I see earlier today that Tony Ferguson, you know, when Tony Ferguson, you know, does an interview with Helwani, and Helwani asked him if he were offered a fight with Justin Gaethje, would he take it? And Ferguson more or less says he would definitely take it as long as everything was done right. And And if I had to guess, I would say, he didn't mention specifically what he meant by that, but he just said as long as everything was done right. And I would at least think that he's referring to the fact that he should definitely be getting championship money for the fight, since he was scheduled for a lightweight title fight. So he should be getting championship money. I mean, he should also be getting championship money even if he wasn't scheduled for a title fight, since, I mean, in my opinion, he never lost his interim belt, so he's technically the interim champion. So he should be getting championship money already. You know, it's almost like every fight for him is a unification fight, in my opinion, because he never lost a belt. They just kind of went on without him, you know, because whatever. We won't get into it. But anyways, part of me gets excited seeing the fact that Ferguson would be willing to fight Gaethje in 2 weeks as long as everything was done right. So I get on a high when I see that. Some of my, you know, it kind of, I won't lie, it kills, it's a vibe kill, you know, when I get hit with the hard truth of either A, this just can't, this won't happen because it's too hard with the travel restrictions, B, this shouldn't happen because, or even vice versa, A, being this shouldn't happen, you know, for everyone's safety and health-wise during this pandemic, and then B, everything, even if it, you know, was done safely, is everything is very hard right now with the travel restrictions. And, you know, that kind of really hits hard, you know, because, you know, half of me as a fan gets very excited still, but the other half of me is not. But the other half of me, like, understands the situation we're in. The half of me that gets excited is kind of clouded, has a type of clouded vision to the reality that, you know, it's in everybody's best interest that the UFC doesn't put on any fights right now. And it's kind of hard to, it's kind of like fighting with those two sides, like wanting to see a fight, but knowing it's probably better off. It's probably for the best that I don't see a fight. I kind of have to, I'm fighting between those two things.
It goes back to what I said earlier, and this will probably make it easier for you. If you knew the UFC was doing everything to take the necessary precautions to make sure everybody walks in healthy and walks out healthy, then of course we would be super excited. We'll be excited to see a fight. You know, that we'll be like, yeah. Because, you know, if everybody walks in healthy, the chance that they walk out not healthy is probably slim to none, unless there's somebody in there that has it, that, you know, that may have contracted it 24 hours before the event or something like that. But we know that the UFC did their due diligence to make sure everybody was healthy. So, yeah, of course we would be healthy. I mean, we'll be excited, I'm sorry. But without knowing that, I just can't see me being, you know, rah, 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 you know, we about to get a fight. So, but a part of me, like you, is, man, I'm such a big sports fan, man. I'm just yearning for some action, you know, something. And I just thought the UFC would be it, but this corona has proven that nobody is above it.
No, absolutely. It's definitely tough, because to go between those two kinds of realities there. I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I guess, you know, we could. I mean, I watched the interview. It was, I want to say, it was a reporter from Yahoo Sports, and he was on a webcam. He did a webcam interview with Dana White, and he had asked, you know, he kind of touched on what you just touched on, and he had asked Dana White, like, you know, in terms of, like, why I don't want to butcher the question, but he asked him something about along the lines of, like, the testing for the fighters, and, like, are you concerned with, like, health and safety of the fighters, like, if you were to put on an event during this time? And And Dana White actually had a really good answer, in my opinion. And he said, of course I'm concerned with the health and safety, but he's like, but a lot of people don't realize is that health and safety is not something that we would have just, you know, started. Like, health and safety isn't something that just became a concern with the coronavirus. Health and safety is something that is a concern to us every single day. And it's something we're working on every single day for our fighters. So, and that answer to me was a great answer, because that just showed that, you know, Dana White said, of course, like, that's something that's always on our plate. We're always trying to have the most, you know, have the most testing being done for our fighters and making sure that everybody's healthy and everything is done as safely as possible. So I really like that answer. You should go look up that interview and watch it.
But you know what, Keith? That's a great answer. But we know that if we really want to nitpick, then that's not the truth, because how many fighters will say they came in the ring and fought with injuries? And the reason they fought with injuries is because they needed the money. A lot of fighters have said that. Even Conor said he fought Khabib because he was injured, but the show must go on. So, I mean, yeah, that's a great answer, you know, as far as, you know, making your organization and making your sport look good. But there are times that we as fans, we know that guys have gotten the cage when they shouldn't have, and the organization knew they shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, this is a, you know, being that we really don't know what's going to happen, and, you know, maybe we don't see any UFC fights for the next, like, 4 months, 5 or 6 months, cause who knows how long. I said to one of my good friends the other day, you know, he just got an Xbox, so he got UFC 3, and then I had to get UFC 3, because he's like, oh, I just got UFC 3, man, how are you not going to get it? Like, you got to get it so we can run these fights, so. You know, I had to download UFC 3 so I can, so I can kind of do my thing in the Octagon a couple times. But anyways, you know, I'd only played UFC 2, so I'm kind of out of date with it. A lot of people have been playing UFC 3, but my first time playing it was just about 2 days ago, and I'm already pretty damn good at it. So for any of the listeners, if anybody wants to play me in UFC 3, we can get it. And my name is Keys TV with 2 S's on Xbox One. So if you want to invite me to an online game, in this kind of limbo period where there's no UFC fights, we can get some UFC fights going, and we can do all the potential fights that we're gonna see. Any one of you guys can be Khabib, I'll be Ferguson, I'll knock you out in the first round. It'll be beautiful, and that's just the way that it is. So we can just smile and just have that.
Man, I read something on Twitter where they were saying that you can't win in UFC 3 online because of the way they have the game set up. That if you play, I guess you play if you fight the computer or something, that you really can't win. Is that true?
What do you mean? Most of the games, I think I've only played like 2 or 3 fights against the computer. Most of the times I play versus my boy. We'll just link. We've done online fights and everything works. I mean, the times I fought the computer, everything's been fine. I haven't noticed anything. I mean, I've been able to win.
But you won versus the computer?
Yeah, I was able to win. I don't really understand the question. What was the problem?
I would have to read that tweet again, but according to the tweet, they made it seem like it was hard to win a fight on UFC 3. When you're fighting the computer, but I don't play video games, so I don't know.
Yeah, nah, it hasn't been hard. I've been able to get through the computer. I actually did a couple mock fights earlier today, or fights that like either happened recently or were supposed to happen. I didn't do Khabib versus Ferguson. I did Khabib versus Conor. And I played as Conor. I think I knocked out Khabib like late in the first round. And then I did Adesanya and Romero. I played as Romero. two times, and I knocked out Adesanya both fights. I outstruck him pretty much like 3-1. But I think Adesanya's character in UFC 3, I don't think has the skill, like the skill level that he would be at if they came out with UFC 4. Because I think with the way the timing worked out of when the game came out, Adesanya was still relatively new to the UFC, and we really didn't know how good he was. Like, so his stats and his striking and everything is kind of, I think, more relative to what we knew, what we had seen from him since his debut. So I think it's not really champion Adesanya. Because I don't know how much the game really – I know the game updates. Like, when you have, like, the new NBA 2K games, I know that it's been happening for years, but if they draft a new player, like, say if the Patriots or like, the Buccaneers, like, got a new player, like, if you went on Madden today, I'm sure they would have had an update to have Tom Brady be on the Buccaneers now. But those 2K, those games have been on that kind of thing for a while. But UFC 3, it just got onto that because UFC 2 didn't do that. When there was a new fighter signed on, you wouldn't have them in the game. Or if, like, an event just happened, they wouldn't show it in the game. It'd be, like, the last event since the game came out. But I knew that it was updated because it showed you can play, like, the fights from the most recent live event, and it showed Lee versus Oliveira, and you could play from the fights from that event. And I was actually shocked that they had that event already up there. I was like, wow, this thing, that fight just happened, like, two, three weeks ago, and they already have that on UFC 3. But anyways, no, the game's very updated, but I think Adesanya's character is a bit outdated from what we knew of him when he entered the UFC, not necessarily the champion Adesanya that we know now. I think if they were to come out with UFC 4, Adesanya's character would be unbelievably good. Like, his character would be very overpowered, and his striking would be ridiculous. It'd be kind of like the way McGregor's character is in UFC 2. If you play as McGregor versus anybody in UFC 2, it's basically like back in the day when you would, you know, play as the Warriors, like during the time they kind of had that championship spree a couple of years ago. If you were to play as the Warriors on 2K during that time, I'm sure a lot of people would kind of get mad at you because the Warriors were so good. So that was kind of the way that is. But anywho, I think we could get into some potentials here. We get into some figurative talk because we really don't know if any fights are going to be happening soon. So what I think we could do is I'm just going to ask you. So I watched an interview earlier today, and Tony Ferguson said that, Helwani asked him if he were to be offered a fight with Justin Gaethje, would he still take it or would he just wait on the Khabib fight? And he more or less said if everything is done right, that he would take the fight with Gaethje because he wants to give the people some kind of hope. And I really like that. But that was the point of it is that now this is a theoretical because we don't know if that fight's even going to happen. But say the fight did happen in 2 weeks, Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje, whether it be for the interim lightweight title or whatever the stakes were, who knows, who would you have in that fight, how, and any other variables you think would go into that fight?
I think if the fight was to happen, it would all depend on the belts. If it's for an interim belt, I say Tony Ferguson would win. But if it was just a fight, I say Justin Gaethje wins. And the reason I said that, why I say that, is because I think Ferguson is more focused on winning a belt right now. He wants to be the champion. And I think if he is in fight for a championship belt, it will actually show in his performance. I think he will be more hungry in a championship fight than he would a regular fight. So if it was for an interim belt, I would get a nod to Gaethje. I mean, get a nod to Ferguson. But it was just a five-round main event, I would get a nod to Gaethje. Because Gaethje would really have more to gain. Because by beating Ferguson, he would basically be the number one contender. And he probably wouldn't need the Conor fight. He could just go ahead and fight Khabib and make as much money as fighting Conor. So it all depends on the variables in the fight. To, for me to determine who will win.
Okay. You know, that's understandable. I mean, Ferguson has had he's put on some would argue he's put on not amazing performance in his recent fights where he wasn't fighting for really any high stakes, like kind of like when he fought Cowboy.
Yes.
You know, some might argue that when he fought Cowboy, he didn't really look too dominant. I mean, he won the fight and he looked good, but he didn't really look unstoppable. He didn't really like run through Cowboy the way that we might have that some of us might hype him up to be. You know, he didn't really put on that kind of performance, and but then at the same time, even when he fought Kevin Lee for the interim belt, I didn't think he looked amazing in that fight either. He always looks good and he always wins, and he always, by the end of the fight, you always end up shaking your head. Like me, I always end up shaking my head and I'm like, oh man, he did it again. Like, it's always one of those moments with Ferguson. Like, I watch the fight and then people critique the fight and they say, wow, man, Ferguson really doesn't look, you know, for somebody on like a 14 win streak, he really doesn't look, you know, that dominant. He doesn't look really that unstoppable. I feel like he's hittable. You know, I hear a lot of things like that when I'm watching Ferguson's fights, and I have some of those thoughts myself, and I say, wow, I feel like he looked kind of vulnerable in that moment, or, oh, wow, like, I'm surprised, like, Kevin Lee was able to get, you know, to mount Ferguson and have it looking like it, you know, he could have landed like a TKO. You know, he could have TKO'd Ferguson. So we all remember that, like, one moment in the Lee-Ferguson fight. But those guys never come out. They can never beat him, though. You know, they might have their moments, but they can never actually beat him. And he always finds a way to win. And that's one thing that great fighters have always done. That's, GSP knew that, is that it's not always about, like, how amazing you look in the fight. It's not about, like, you don't have to be unstoppable and have no flaws, but you have to know how to win. And that's what, and like I said, GSP knew how to do that. And GSP had some boring fights, but he knew how to win. You know, he didn't always look at his best. Sometimes he had suspect fights, but he knew how to win.
I think with Ferguson, though, you have to get him in the first two rounds. You have to get him in the first two rounds because his cardio is so out of this world that if you don't get him in the first two rounds, he's turning it up as you're slowing down. And that's why when you look at it by the end of the fight, you're like, damn, he did it again. Because when he should be slowing down, like his opponent, he's turning it up. He's getting stronger as the fight goes by. And with a guy like him, if you drop him, just rush. Just rush in, balls to the wall. Hopefully the referee will stop it because, you know, even though you're not really landing anything, but he's not answering. So I think a lot of people, when they hurt him, they're scared to charge in because he has an unorthodox ground game, which some people kind of scared of. Even like when you see Nate go to the ground, you'll see a lot of people reluctant to charge in because of what he can do from his back. So I think with Ferguson, man, you just have to, in your training, go balls to the wall in rounds one and two. Just go super hard. And then maybe you can get him out of there in the first two rounds. But three, four, and five, you're going to be in for a fight because he's just getting stronger.
Now I'm going to say this. I'm going to answer my own question because I kind of feel like my response is due here. So if Ferguson and Gaethje were to fight in 2 weeks, which theoretically, because we are talking theoreticals here, theoretically they could fight in 2 weeks, but we really don't know. It could very well be that there is no fight for months. But if they were to fight in 2 weeks, I think Ferguson would beat him really no matter what was on the line, whether it was a title or not. I think Ferguson would beat him And the reason why I think he would beat him is that Gaethje's, like, you know, kind of adding on to, well, taking a clip from, like, what you just said, is Gaethje's biggest window would be early in the fight. And my reasoning for that is Ferguson, and like you were saying, Ferguson tends to start heating up, similar to how Nate Diaz kind of starts to heat up in, like, the championship rounds. He's a guy who really come alive and start coming, like, hard at you in the fourth and fifth round. So if you already spent out your gas tank in the first two or three, you're probably going to lose. And Ferguson does that too, and Floyd Mayweather does that too. And, you know, we've seen Floyd Mayweather kind of hang in there and not look too, you know, not look too great in fights. And then, you know, sixth, seventh round, all of a sudden, you just see him start coming out crazy. It's like all of a sudden he's a new man in there, and he just got like this huge, he got this huge tank of fresh air and a glass of water, and this guy just takes over the fight. So it's really hard to beat a guy that can do something like that. And
exactly.
Where Ferguson is so technical and he does so many different things, I was able to compare him to Nate Diaz, but it's really not that much. It's not really that good of a comparison. Only good comparison of it is that they both kind of tend to turn on later in the fight as opposed to in the beginning. But Ferguson is so much more technical than Nate Diaz, in my opinion. And he just brings in all his weapons. Like, all his weapons are at play at once. He can't do literally everything at the same time, but everything is, I feel like everything is in his mind. He's like, okay, like I speculate, I hypothesize that, I wonder if Ferguson, he seems like the type of guy who he trains for so many different scenarios. And I feel like he's a guy who, just by watching him fight, he seems like the type of guy who goes into the fight and his corner says, okay, here's plan A, here's plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, plan F, plan G, and so on. And,
yeah.
And they have every scenario played out, and he seems to be good at reacting to that type of to that instinct as those moments come up and as things change rapidly in the fight. So if I end up in bottom position, here's our new plan. If this guy seems to want to have the fight, keep the fight standing, then here's our plan. You know, if I take him down, here's where I'm going with this. If he takes me down, here's what I'm doing with this. You know, if he's throwing a lot of leg kicks, here's what we're gonna do with this. Like, or here's how I'm gonna use my legs. Like, I just feel like Ferguson and his camp, I theorize that they look at the fight this way, and that's why it's so hard to beat this guy too, because he plans for all these different scenarios. And I feel like that is a big dynamic. That's a big dynamic in the Khabib Ferguson fight. And I feel like that's part of the reason why the fight has had the intrigue that it's had, and it still holds that intrigue as such an anticipated fight in UFC history, is because it's not just Khabib, you know, takes this guy down and then the fight's over. I don't think the fight would go that way, because I feel like Ferguson, because of the way he approaches a fight, trains for so many different disciplines and for so many different scenarios, I feel like he would have so many different plans on how to approach Khabib. And I don't think it would just be, okay, I'm going to get taken down and then we're going to do this. I feel like there'd be so many different things that he would be planning for that fight. And that's why I feel like it's so intriguing. I would have Ferguson beating Gaethje no matter what, whether there was a belt or not, because I feel like Gaethje, some really good stand-up in the first three rounds. And I feel like by the end of the third round, Gaethje will have thrown pretty much like everything that he had, assuming that he'd be able to get Ferguson out of there by the end of round three. And then once he would drag into the fourth round, Ferguson would completely dominate. And you know, I think Ferguson would we'd see a finish. Ferguson would probably I'd probably see a fourth or fifth round submission from Ferguson. That's what I would think. Either fourth or fifth round submission or fourth or fifth TKO. think Ferguson would just completely take over, and that would be the difference in that fight.
Yeah, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, Gaethje would definitely have to get him out of there between the first and the second round. Anything after that, though, if Gaethje can't get him out of there by the second round, I'm full blown on Tony Ferguson winning the fight because of his cardio and because of something that me and you have talked about so many times in the past. If your plan A ain't working, do you have a plan B? Do you possibly have a plan C? I know we ask him a lot, but do you have a plan D? And sometimes when these guys hop into these big fights, if their plan A doesn't work, they don't have a plan B. And one thing about, like you said about Ferguson, is he's not going to go in there with one game plan. He's going to go in there with more than one game plan because his skills allow him to have more than one game plan. Some guys can't have more than one game plan. Like last week when they re-showed the Khabib-Poirier fight, Poirier, his best, I mean, he had Khabib in a submission, but you could tell he was shocked to even be in that position to be able to put that guillotine on Khabib. And then once he gave it up, it was over. The fight was over. You could just tell it was over. You could look in his face and tell that he was like, man, what I got to do? And it was just a wrap. But, I know we got a little bit of time left, but I wanted to bring this up because you shouted at me today on Twitter. Man, I am so tired of Thiago Santos lobbying for this interim belt fight with Dominique Reyes. Man, you know how it makes him look, man? It makes him look weak to me. It's like you want to fight for an interim belt because the champion has found himself in trouble. But John already told you that once you are healthy, he will fight you again. So why are you lobbying for an interim title fight? I'm just tired of this 205 division. Everybody's jumping in now, talking about, you know, that it should be an interim belt and all this stuff. That it should be on hold. And my thing is, why would the division be on hold? He ain't going to jail. You know, he has to do community service. He has to go get treatment and all this stuff. But I'm quite sure the judicial system in New Mexico is not going to stop him from making a living. So the UFC can set up a fight for John Jones. Guess what? The only thing he got to do is just go to the New Mexico judicial system and say, hey, I'm going to be training for a fight. I'm going to have to go travel on this date. Y'all can bring somebody with me, blah, 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 blah. So, man, these 205ers need to get real, man. The thing is if you're going to beat John Jones, and I'm a fan, you know I'm a fan, you need to get him now because he's just not the same guy he used to be. And to me, it's not because he don't have the skills. To me, it's because he's cocky. And if you're going to get him now.
That fight is a sad fight to me because it just feels like a loser's bracket. And that would just be a very sad title. That would just be a very sad title fight, whether it's an interim belt or for a vacant belt. That's just a sad title fight. It's a loser's bracket, and it has no intrigue. Yeah, it has no intrigue just because of that. You both lost, even though they both were questionable. They were both like close fights. Both lost, so it's a loser's bracket. So I'm going to just shoot that down right now because that's just news. So, and there's another one like that. Your boy Rosenstruck actually, I saw, I think a Bloody Elbow reported it today. Your boy Rosenstruck, who just knocked, his last fight, he knocked out Alistair Overeem, who's supposed to be fighting Ngannou, is calling for that fight to be for the interim heavyweight title. So how do you feel about that?
This one is tough this one is tough, Keys, because me and you are both big fans of Stipe, man. And he is really, Stipe, he being Stipe, is really having issues with his eye, man. They don't know if he's going to be able to fight by the end of this year due to this eye injury. And Stipe actually came out, I want to say, last week, and he said his main focus right now is helping people with this coronavirus because, you know, he is a fireman. So with that being said, with him being a fireman and him and his eye, I really don't have an issue with Nagano and Rozenstruik fighting for the interim heavyweight belt.
Yeah, I say go ahead. I mean, I don't mind interim belts as long as there's – I just don't like when they do interim belts just because, like, the champion's off, like, you know, hanging out and some ridiculousness is happening. Like, if it's something – I like it if there's a plan. You can have an interim belt and then figure out, like, know the timeline of the champion. So figure out either, A, when he can fight, or, B, if he's going to, like, vacate the title and get the actual unification belt plan. Like, if they're going to do it, or if you're going to have them fight for the vacant title, whatever. Do whatever it is, but just have the plan. Don't just throw an interim belt out there just so you can have a pay-per-view or so you can have a title fight. Put it out there knowing what the next step is after it. If they can do that, then I'm cool with that because I feel like that's a really good fight, and I feel like that fight, we will get what we were supposed to get with Lewis and Ghana.
Yeah, and I think another thing that would help that fight, if it is for an interim belt, is if Stipe came out and signed off on it. If he was to come out and say, hey, I understand, you know, I support the UFC doing this because of what's going on with me, blah, 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 blah. And I think it'll be the fans will accept it more coming from him saying that he's all for it. And, you know, because sometimes when you have an interim belt, like for Khabib, you can have an interim belt for the lightweight belt every year because it seems like Khabib only fight once a year. So what is he doing for a whole year that he only can fight once a year? Ramadan only comes around once a year. So I understand the three-month period for Ramadan, but what about the other 9 months in the year? So, but I think if the UFC was to go that route and do an interim heavyweight belt and Stipe was to come out and sign off on it, I think it would be more acceptable.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, and DC has been talking lately as if they have, like, a location for his, like, trilogy with Stipe. But then from what you're saying, it sounds like that Stipe is not anywhere close to fighting soon. So I don't know. We'll have to see how that one develops during this time. I mean, the UFC might not even be in action for a while. You know, we don't even know if we'll see an event, you know, in the near future. So Stipe, you know, that Stipe might be able to just take that time, you know, while the UFC is, you know, laying low like the rest of the world, and take that time, I mean, A, to help out with the coronavirus relief, and B, to help out with rehabilitating his eye if he can. So that'll be good. And then, you know, we'll see what happens if they can run that for the interim heavyweight title, and maybe he can sign off on it. You know, we definitely got through a lot of good content tonight. We had, you know, our friend Lou, who's called into our show before, he called in again. I appreciate that. From the Enhanced Sports Show? Yeah, the Enhanced Sports Show. And I believe he said he runs his show on Saturdays. You mean Saturdays at 5 p.m.? I want to say it's 5 p.m.
5 Eastern,
7 Eastern. Yep. So, yeah, go check out the Enhanced Sports Show, our friend Lou, and thank you for calling him if you do hear this. We got through a lot of good stuff tonight. I'm really happy with it. You know, it was a good vibe Friday show, as always. You know, I always enjoy these ones. Definitely enjoyed this one tonight too. And you know, my last thing is just, you know, keep strong and just keep looking out. This is a really tough time, and I know you know, the content of our show, you know, may not be you know, and it is very well not the first thing on anybody's mind right now, so it's totally understandable. But if you do listen to our show, then I hope that it's able to get your mind off everything that's going on for a period of time and help you just relieve some stress. Because I know right now a lot of people are in really tough situations out there, and there's a lot of people that are, you know, really sick from the virus. So I know a lot of families are struggling. I mean, I've had two people that I knew rather personally that have passed away from the coronavirus in the past 2 weeks. So I definitely understand how you feel right now. If for people that are struggling, if you have family members that are sick and things like that, I definitely understand, you know, where you're coming from with that. And just know that we're all in this together. And it's a fight that we will win. It's a fight that we will win. So that's I'll leave off with that.
Yeah, man. Everybody do what they're supposed to do. Stay home. Limit your public interactions with other people. Practice social distancing and all that good stuff. But I got some ideas for next week's show. I'm gonna throw them out there now. I think Keith, we definitely got to talk about this next week. Top five hottest women in MMA. We have to come up with our list for the top five hottest women. Because, dog.
That's a good topic.
I don't know, dog, what's going on social media right now with TikTok and this quarantine stuff. These MMA women have been coming out with some videos and some pictures. Oh, my goodness. We got to do that next week. And then I was thinking that we could do our top five, you know, underrated fighters. We'll look at guys that's ranked outside the top five, you know, in certain divisions. They can't be ranked in the top five because you're really not underrated if you're the top five. And then maybe we can have our GOAT conversation again about who we feel are the top five greatest of all time, you know. You know, just give us something to talk about, you know, give you something to think about, give me something to think about. But we definitely talking about these top five hottest females in MMA, dog. Oh, my goodness.
I like that.
Oh, my goodness.
And where you said they've been posting, like, this is on TikTok? I don't have TikTok, so I don't know. But
I don't have it either, but they be putting the videos on Twitter and Instagram also. Oh, man. Whew. Yeah, dog. We definitely
talking about. I guess I gotta start following some of these. You know, I gotta follow Amanda Ribas. I've been following Valerie Lareda. She's been posting a lot of content lately. She's been looking unbelievable.
So you see her TikTok videos?
You know, I've seen some of her TikTok videos. She's been reposting them on Twitter and stuff like that. Yeah, she's been looking really good.
Yeah, we definitely doing that next Friday, man. We're going to do that next Friday. But, you know, man, it's Friday night, man. It's Friday Night Fire. That's what we're going to start calling our Friday night shows, Friday Night Fire. Friday Night Fire with Lee and Keys. You know, you know, man, it's always good to talk with you, bro. It's always good to talk to the people. Lee and Keys, real talk, always keeping it real. Everybody take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Stay at home. We will get through this. In the infamous words of a friend of mine, she always used to tell me, this too shall pass. So keep in mind, this too shall pass. With that being said, Lee and Key signing off episode 135. And in closing, like always, peace.